Blog Talk Radio.
So what I'm saying is, as indigenous people, what price are we willing to pay for freedom? Or is it in fact, in some instances, precede freedom? Because a lot of people think they are free. You hear people say all the time, oh, I'm in a democracy, and you know, at least we're not living in communist Russia, and we have rights, and we have, you know, the right to do this, the right to do that. And when you find yourself in a scenario where the police, for example, decide to stop you for no reason whatsoever, what rights do you actually have? Are they rights that are realized, or are they rights that are presumed or fantasized? Anyways, we can get into this in a couple minutes, but as always, once again, I'd like to welcome our illustrious, very wise co-host, the incomparable Janet 11 Powell. How are you doing, Janet?
I'm good. How are you? I'm always amazed when you describe me that way. That's so nice. I go, ooh. But it's nice.
Yes, yeah.
I've been around a minute.
Let me tell you something. A lot of people have been around, but they have not gathered wisdom. They have not gathered any real knowledge. And we totally appreciate the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that you bring to the conversation. You and I were discussing this topic earlier. And you had a question that you wanted to pose to the audience?
Oh, the question, and I hope you'll call in and give the answer. I really do. The question is, what freedom do you want? I mean, if you had to choose freedom, whatever that is, what is it that you consider the freedom that you desire the most? Because there may be several, but what do you consider your freedom? What do you consider being free? And what is it for you? Not your neighbor, but for you. And if you can answer that for us, it would be great if you called in and shared that with us.
Please do, and please call in and join the conversation. We have been known to start on a particular topic, and then we gravitate to other areas concerning indigenous people. So we basically go the way that the conversation or our spirits lead us. So please don't hesitate. Anything else you'd like to say, Janet, before we
No, I'm anxious to interact. I think we need, and I'd love, we need to do that more. Because people are smart. They're thinking, and they should be allowed to share with their stuff. I mean, they really should be able to. I don't. There's no other venues that we hear our people at all, unless it's on the news and it's something negative, something crazy. But
right.
we need to hear we need to hear our those of us who researched and studied, and they have something to say. They have maybe a question to pose. It doesn't matter, or a statement to make from their perspective. It would be great if you did call in and share that with us.
Absolutely.
And I can't give out the number because I don't know it.
563-999-3442. 563-999-3442. Press 1 to join the conversation. So we look forward to interacting with you, and we shall return after this song. Remember, there's always a great message in some of our music. And we are back. Janet? Okay.
We are.
Well, here we go. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about freedom that is, basically, we're speaking to your audience, your interpretation of what freedom is, based on your life experience, based on your reality, be it through what someone has told you, your teachers or whomever, what freedom is or what it should mean to you. Or, of course, you know, we're more interested in your personal experiences. I can start off for myself saying that although we're living in, quote unquote, a democracy, for myself, when driving down the street, I have been stopped by the police for no reason whatsoever. And when I asked the question, why am I being stopped? I was once arrogantly spoken to from the police officer when he said, well, right now you're under an investigation. And I said, for what? He said, well, someone who fits your description has committed a robbery or something. He came up with some manufactured crap. He at that time asked me to move away from the car, and his partner went into my car, and I told him, I said, you're not supposed to be in my car. Get out of my car. Get out of my car. I said, what is he doing in my car? He said, well, right now we're making sure that you have no weapons and that we're safe. I said, I have no weapons. Get out of my car. So at that time, I was thinking, you know, from the perspective that we were black people, which now I know better. We are not black people. So I flipped the script, and he said, well, Anthony, how do we know? You could be a criminal. And I said, how do I put it? I said something like, well, what does a criminal look like? He said, I don't know. He said, you could be one. I said, well, I know what a criminal looks like. And he said, what? I said, black. And when I said that, he got, you know, he didn't expect it. He said, well, he said, no, Anthony, there's a lot of white criminals, too. I said, you're damn right there are. And he said, it's okay, well, I don't see anything wrong here. Do you? He looked at his partner. He said, no, and they left. But the point I'm making is I was stopped. Whatever rights I thought I had were violated. Whatever freedom I thought I had was violated. They detained me for however many minutes from where I was going, and it didn't matter to them. You know, it didn't matter what the situation was. So how, in fact, am I, you know, as an indigenous man, supposed to believe that, in fact, I have freedom and right in the society where any moment these people can violate them?
And they do every day. They do every day. All day. The methods and their methods and means are so cloaked that we don't see them. We don't get it. We really don't freaking get it. And it's smacking us in our faces.
Absolutely.
So we're willing to accept that we've been misinformed, undereducated on purpose. Until we really get that, this is a thing, and this is another perspective. But we have to accept where we live and who we live among. We have to accept that, and we have to look at the history, at our history, to remember when we were the happiest on the land. And when we were the happiest on land is when we were on our own together doing our thing. Those were the times we were the happiest. So why are we not getting that and struggling to still? And I asked this on the air 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Why are we, is our emphasis on being accepted over there? I don't get it. It's amazing to me, because that energy we need to build within, not from the outside, you understand? But to build within, that's energy we need inside. And we see what's going on, and we still don't get it. We don't get it. We really don't.
That's true. We, I appreciate what you said concerning why are we trying to be accepted. That is a terrible thing that has been prevalent with the so-called leadership. They want to prove to these people that they're intelligent. They want to prove that they use soap and water. Mm-hmm. They want to prove that they're human. And, I'm looking at, like, why do you have to prove anything to these people?
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, I'll say again, what makes these people a standard? but we have allowed them to become a standard. We want to wear the clothes that they say are fashionable to wear. So whatever designers, they tell us, this is the hot designer. Wear his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wear his clothes. So we want to put on those clothes, the hair, because white women walk around with their hair hanging down, flapping in the wind. We want to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have taken on the identity of those who have been emulating us.
Mm.
So, it's like the original imitating the copy and becoming even less than the carbon copy, because we're following something that's not real. We're following an illusion. They're following what is real. They're following us. We are the indigenous people. We are the first people. We are the first family. So for the rest of the world to look at us and be concerned about what we're doing, which they are, all around the world, they know who we are.
Mm.
Unfortunately, we don't put that same value on ourselves. But, it's just a very interesting dynamic how, we're concerned about what's going on over there. Who cares? Who cares?
Well, the programming is deliberate, and it's aimed to where it's being aimed. And the cable TV is like a bullet. It's like a bunch of bullets that zing deliberately to their payees, of which our people pay the most. In cable TV, and single Wasichu women. But ours provide the largest revenue to cable companies. Now, I don't know what the get back is. I don't see it. I don't see that at all. I know they have the capability of watching us, which is dangerous. But the But the government media propaganda has an energy that affects our children, affects adults. It affects us, and it's real. It's very, very real. And other countries don't show the negative programming that the United States does. They don't do it. Especially Asian countries, they don't do it. If they show their best, they teach, they do quality stuff, beautiful stuff, beauty. That's energy. That's energy. But if you're getting guns, death, crime, killing, prison stuff, just constantly angst, that affects the mind of the viewer. And that's why it's done. That's why it's done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's why it's done. It's just a tool, another tool of elimination. Yeah. Makes
yeah,
you
and
sick.
We, yeah. Yeah, we are constantly being inundated, like you said, with these negatives,
mm-hmm.
which in fact is geared towards taking our people to the prison system, because
mm-hmm.
You had mentioned before concerning the schools, how they have taken out the trades,
mm-hmm.
and you know, so the children no longer have the woodshop or the sewing class or the automotive, something where they could get out and go and get a job or
mm-hmm.
start their own job, I mean business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I heard it said by someone, and it makes sense to me, that the schools now are basically holding cells to train our children to go to prison.
Mm.
Where
yeah.
they will work
yeah.
for Fortune 500 companies for pennies on a dollar. And when they get out of prison, isn't it a shame that they cannot go to these Fortune 500 companies and say on the resume or on their application, where did you work? Well, I worked for you while I was in prison.
That well, the game,
you know?
The game is not to educate. That's the
mm-hmm.
entry to prison. If you don't educate,
right.
if you don't teach skills in any area,
right.
and a person can't work or get meaningful work, what may happen? I mean, just what do people think is going to go on, and going to happen?
Right.
And there's a lot of setups too for our men. There's a lot of setups.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ways that the oligarchs get them and talk them into things that they shouldn't be involved
yeah.
in, but they get talked into doing things they shouldn't do by those who are really making the money for real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are really making the money.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're not there. You know, you can't
mm-hmm.
fix it if you don't know it or believe it or research it or know or do, what? How do you fix it?
Right.
These latest,
well,
I don't know about the
right.
the other cities, but you notice those recent killings in Philly?
Yeah, yeah.
And the ones where the three were wrapped in blanket. This is not the kinds of killings and homicides that are going on in the hood are not they're that's outside stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff
I
is
totally
not
agree.
Inside.
I totally agree.
That stuff is coming from the outside.
Yeah.
We're targeted.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's we talk about let's take over Chicago, for example.
Mm-hmm.
When Barack Obama was the president of the United
mm-hmm.
States Corporation,
mm-hmm.
there were so many murders going on of indigenous
mm-hmm.
people. Chicago, I believe, was the murder capital
mm-hmm.
of the U.S. And I think it still is. But it was just amazing to me. This is where this man claimed. And
well, just the other morning, Rahm Emanuel was on talking about this wonderful program he's got going on in Chicago, and through the entire interview, he was never asked about the crime rate in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Never
yeah.
came up.
Mm-hmm.
He was never asked.
Right.
It never came up. I'm
mm-hmm.
going, what? Who's fooling who here?
Right.
I mean, people know if they're reading. No, but it never came up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Truly amazing. Truly amazing. And and I'm assuming that the interview was conducted on quote unquote liberal television.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Fox News or one
mm-hmm.
of those ultra-conservative stations. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it goes to show you again, it's not important to these people
mm-hmm.
to bring
and
it up.
And they're bought and paid for. You know that. They're corporate media.
Oh, absolutely.
The oligarchs own them. They own
absolutely.
Them.
Yeah, all of them. All of them.
Yeah.
Fox as well as CNN. You know, so you think that it's like those who call themselves Democrat. You think the Democrats are on your side. You think the Democrats love indigenous people. No, they don't.
Mm.
That's what your leaders may tell you, but it is not true.
Mm-mm.
You know, the Democrats may know how to smile a little more and, you know, make promises a little more, but no, there's no concern for our people.
Mm-mm.
You know, we really have to do for ourselves. We really have
mm-hmm.
to,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's the bottom line. We have to do for ourselves. We have to raise those standards back in our community.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we can talk about a time when in our communities, people had the decency to respect one another,
mm-hmm.
to respect the elderly, to
mm-hmm.
look out for their elderly neighbors, to look out for all the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when if you knew a neighbor was laid off or not doing well, you know, you may take some food or you may,
mm-hmm.
you know, pay a bill or something.
It was never a problem.
Yeah. So, you know, within our communities, we had that standard. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we need to get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need
Without
to get back
question.
To it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or maybe we could have a rent party for them.
mm-hmm.
You know, those rent parties, absolutely.
We did everything to take care of whatever. We had the little private in the basement juke joints.
Yeah.
You understand? All of that. We were okay. Now, were things stolen from us? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Things were stolen, you know, playing the numbers in the same basement at the same time was mm-hmm. stolen. All of mm-hmm. a sudden, those things that we were doing became illegal and
right.
for us, but became mm-hmm. legal in the system.
Yeah.
But it's all right. We need to get back to who we are culturally. Our language is fine. Who we are is fine. We need to get back to who we are and stop allowing other people to tell us what we should and should not do and who we are and what's proper for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we should be
on all levels, telling us what's proper
sure.
for us. And again, that gets to your freedom because,
mm-hmm.
you know, from
mm-hmm.
a religious standpoint, you are told
mm-hmm.
you better not do this or you're going to hell. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like there are limitations that these people will place on you, but they don't live within those same parameters.
No,
they
don't know. No, they. And for us to continue to think that that's what we should be doing again
yeah.
is being them
mm-hmm.
for their approval for what? For
yeah.
what?
It's totally.
And if
pathetic,
you go to, it's crazy.
But,
it should be. If you go to other places around the country. Those
yeah.
cultures and ethnic groups are taking care of self.
Yeah.
We could learn from them. We could learn from them. We can
better.
Learn. Our children can create. They can weave. They can make things. They can make their clothes. They can make cars. You know, whoever. There are things that they can do that people are doing all around the world.
And I'm sure
we're not,
they're looking. They're looking for the opportunity and the directive to do that. But we have 919 on. 919, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
Good.
How are you? Gabriel Rich. Gabriel Rich from the Rich Report, which comes on Thursday, 9 to 11. Gabriel Rich, how are you?
Right on. Right on. I'm good. I'm good, guys. Hey, Janet.
Hey, hey. Glad you're here.
Glad to be here. Glad, as Windwalker would say, glad to be here. Glad to be here. The price
yeah.
of freedom, guys, is death.
Mm.
And if you're not willing to
yeah.
die for it, then you don't want it. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not willing to
mm-hmm.
die for freedom, then you don't want it.
Unfortunately,
mm-hmm. religion teaches us that you are a body with a spirit instead of the fact of you're a spirit inhabiting a body. The soul, the spirit never dies. You're going to come here. It only transforms. Nothing in this universe is wasted. It only transforms.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is wasted.
Absolutely.
So,
what's freedom? What's freedom for you? I mean, on your best day, on your very best day, feeling wonderful, what is it about that is freedom for you?
Well, physically, I've never been free. In my mind, in my mind, however, freedom for me is the ability to decide to do whatever without the confines of a system that restricts it with rules and regulations that usually come with some form of payment. Because all people in prison, they're in prison because all crimes are financial. It has nothing to do with ethics. It has nothing to do with morals. That's why they say, you know, you have to pay your debt to society.
Mm-hmm.
It's all financial. All crimes are financial,
mm-hmm.
whether real
mm-hmm.
or imagined. So freedom for me would be to step outside the construct that is white supremacy and maybe go back to a time before 1492 or even after 1492, because we didn't start getting into these confines until about the 16th century anyway.
Right.
So
right.
That would be ideal for me, you know, that to be able to come and go, to choose things that don't involve money, things that don't involve finance, things that don't involve the social engineering that's been put on us. And we are all victims of social engineering, all of us, every last one of us. The most awake person is a victim.
Absolutely.
So, that would be ideal. I would love to see that happen. Not sure if it ever will, but in my lifetime, I'm sure that it will. But although we'll never go back to the way it was, we'll never go back to, you know, the Pandora's box has been opened. The genie is out of the bottle. So we're never going to go back to the way things were. But that would be ideal. But if you're not willing to die for it, the problem is most of us don't realize that we're not free because, you know, you can come and go. You can buy a car, purchase a home, buy clothes, and we equate that with freedom when in reality that has actually everything contributes everything to your slavery.
Absolutely.
Not your freedom.
Absolutely. Without question. Yes.
And
And look at what we could do with that. Go ahead.
No, I mean look at what we could do with it. Look at what we could do with it outside of those confines.
Mm-hmm.
Before they came along, our streams were so clear that if you were a boat, it looked like you were floating on air. Now they're polluted. Our waterways, our oceans. Our land is polluted, and all through their for profit construct. That is white supremacy, and we are all victims of social engineering. But the heat is on us more so than any people on earth, because one, we live in a land. Our land has more resources than any other place on earth. We have thus more knowledge is found here than any other place on earth. They won't tell you that. Again, Europeans, Caucasians in general, took off after about the 1820s. They made a quantum leap. Now they've been in Africa since about the 11th, 12th century.
Absolutely.
You didn't see a quantum leap there. They've been in Asia since about the 11th, 12th century. No quantum leap. No quantum leap in Europe. None. But they get here, and after about 200 years of being here, now all of a sudden they make a quantum leap. That means that they discovered a lot of the technologies and a lot of the sciences here that they are now using for their benefit, for their profit, because for them everything is about a profit.
And the suppression of the indigenous people.
Well, we are the money. We are the money. We don't understand that either.
Yeah.
We're the money. We are the money.
And still are. And still are.
We'll always be. We'll always be. The world looks to us for its culture. So if that is the case, we are the money. You don't see foreigners, Arabs, Hindustanians, Koreans going into Caucasian neighborhoods. You don't even see them going into, you don't see Arabs going into Asian neighborhoods where there's up shops and stores. No, we're the only ones because we're the money.
No. Yes.
We're the money. The term greenbacks, as far as money goes, that applied to us.
You know what else? Not only do we go to the stores. Now, if we're talking about what we have or what we're misusing, let's put it that way. But we're the biggest numbers outside the lottery line, the lottery joints, the little lottery shacks. I've been paying attention to that too, because when I look, I go, how come nobody else is getting those tickets? You know what I'm saying? And I've been in different parts of the city, so it's not like I'm just in the hood. I'm like downtown and whatever. We are the ones in the line. We got to look at the psychology of this. We're the ones in the line. We're the ones, as soon as the banks opened, we were the first ones in there. And they were charging us interest up the butt more than they were anyplace else. It was important for us to get insurance, yet they discriminated on the amount that we could get for insurance, and we weren't making any money on insurances.
True.
Now, right now, properties that we do own, those of us that do own them, They are devaluing them, not fixing them, not fixing the outside of whatever and whatever, but yet the fines are in the hood. Most of the fining is in the hood, along with the same taxes that anybody else is paying. You paying taxes for your kids to go to public school, and the schools are closed. And they tell you where your kid is to go to school. So what I'm saying, all of that, because Anthony and I had this discussion, Gabe, where I'm like kind of sick of us at this point. Because there's no reason for us to not know better by 2018 going into 2019, that we still don't care for ourselves better than we do and still expect it to come from others, that they direct us, they tell us how they're going to educate our children, they're going to shut down the schools that we pay for, the properties that we pay for, the streets that we pay for, and there's nothing talked about it. There's no fight in that game.
Well,
I'm not getting
we're not going to be taken seriously as long as we keep classifying ourselves as anything other than what we are. We are those Indians that they speak about. So as long as you're black, it doesn't matter if you pay taxes. You're an immigrant in your own land. You're African American. You are a foreigner in your own land. You're not going to be taken seriously. And you already have the mindset of being a minority at that. So you feel powerless to begin with, which is why now we jump up and we protest and we march. And that's just for acceptance. That's what it's for. It's anger for acceptance. But the biggest problem that we have, that I have with us, is that we have become complacent in the fight. We don't understand.
There you go.
The price of freedom, the problem that we have is that we are looking for these people to have a humanity who have no humanity whatsoever. They are not humane. See, to be human is to also be humane.
Absolutely.
See what I'm saying? So, and they are people, merely people. There is no humanity. And we're looking for their humanity in hopes that they will see what is being done wrong and say, wow, this is wrong. And it's not going to happen. They have declared war on us. They've been declaring war on us since literally the 1800s. And we are not now returning fire. Now, they do everything they can to break us down so that we will not return fire, religion, education. You know, a number of just the constant social engineering, media, everything. But at some point, if you get bitch slapped enough, you have to wake up and realize that, you know, this bitch slapping ain't going to stop until I start throwing some blows.
There you go.
And we're not doing that. We're not throwing blows again because we think, the problem is we think that if we start returning fire, then we're outnumbered, which we're not. We're outgunned, which, yeah, we are. But they have rules to follow. They are not as genocidal as you think they are. They have rules to follow. And let's say what Anthony was talking about with the cop. Okay, I've been in that same situation with the cop. Well, a cop told me that, you know, if he had 10 minutes alone with me, that, you know, he'd make an example out of me. Right now, if I'd cowered, he'd been really, 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 really amped to test it. But I told him, give me 5 minutes. You better bring your gun in there whipping that, because in 5 minutes I'd beat your ass like you stole something. You better bring a nightstick ain't gonna help you. And see, he reverted back to being himself. See, their training only lasts for so much. You start firing on these cops, they're gonna go back to being the people that they are. They're not known for being fighters. They're not known for getting out here and taking us on. Actually, in a lot of these fights, they either take an ass whooping or they run.
Sure.
Okay? If you return fire on them, they're going to run. They're going to try to wait for backup. See, we don't understand their psyche because we don't strategize. And, because we don't strategize, we fear them. This is a vast, vast 180-degree turnaround because just 125 years ago, when some of us were still Indians, they were afraid of the very sight of us.
Sure.
And now we're afraid of the very sight of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how things have turned around.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And if we going to be like that, again, we're going to have to come inside. We're going to have to grow again. We're going to have to redevelop ourselves again. If that is what, no, it's true. It's what we're seeing is factual. And we're going to have to bring them in because we got to save the babies. We really do.
Well, the babies aren't going to
really
take
do.
Us. Here's the deal with that is religion kept us from getting out here and really choking people out. Religion, education kept us from, well, the educational system is in shambles. And a lot
right.
of kids, they don't go to church. They don't believe in it anymore.
Right.
So there's, and we are the ones who indoctrinate our own children. They don't do it. They get us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening is these kids aren't going to take this.
Mm-mm.
They're not going to take it.
Mm-mm.
And they don't have the same system set in place that they had for you, Janet, when you were a child, me when
mm-hmm.
I was a child, and Anthony when he was a child. So, well, that's almost
mm-hmm.
all but gone.
Right.
So these
right.
kids aren't going to take it. They're not going to take it at all. They're going to start fighting
yeah.
back. Actually, they already are fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are.
They're angry. They are angry. They have every right to be.
Well, a lot of them don't have a solid family structure. It's easy to be
go.
Angry when society is treating
go.
You bad. You go home, you
there
don't
you
get
go.
Any shelter from
your
home
you
life, which is just as bad. Okay, now
there
you go
you
to
go.
School. It's a school-to-prison
mm-hmm.
pipeline where they are preparing
mm-hmm.
you for prison. So,
mm-hmm.
they have a – hell, I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
I was angry then, too. I'm still angry.
Sure.
Nothing's changed.
Sure.
The problem is, however, a lot of us have become cowardly, and we stopped
mm-hmm.
being angry for fear of repercussion. And
mm-hmm.
and I, to a degree, I understand, because as much as I want to get out here and be a vigilante, I just can't do this by myself.
Right.
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 Now,
right.
then I'm a singled-out crazy nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and it's going on in these companies, just eye contact. Like I'm noticing lately, especially since the Trump thing, eye contact is like very searing anymore. You understand what I'm saying? If
yeah.
you're in a mixed crowd or mixed company, or you walk in a store or you're in and out, it's like eye contact is like not cool. It's not cool at all. And it's almost like you're threatened before you even – we just need to come back to who we are. We need to come back inside. We really do. We really do. It's not
yeah,
even worth being out there. It's not. And I'm telling you, my best time on this planet was during segregation. It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. So – we didn't realize how wonderful it was. We didn't have a clue. But I'm telling you, it was wonderful. Now, I'm
we
not talking about jump. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And
we trusted other people telling us a fantasy. They sold us on a fantasy, what
mm-hmm.
it was supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm. Well, we always lived on our own. Every group and culture and ethnic group always has. So I don't know why we
sure.
were so fast to want to jump over there. You know, the pain was that bad, that, you know, the hurt was that bad, and the system to want to prove your worth was that bad. I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
Not for everybody, though. Not for everybody. And just like you have the few on the left side or the wrong side, they tend very often to empower everybody with disempowerment. They tend to do that. You know, their stuff is raggedy and not right, and then filter it into you. But those of us who know better are going to have to take our stand. We're going to have to talk more about it, and we're going to have to share more information, and we're going to have to fight back the best way we can. If it's through media, we do it. Whatever we need to do, that's what we're here to do. We have to. Yep.
Totally agree.
It's affecting us, and we don't realize it. I'm not going to. Let me see. It's not. Oh, I have to do this. I have to do the sperm count. Let everybody know that the male sperm count is lowering. And it's not good. It's another elimination factor. And and the sperm that is available is causing damage to healthy eggs, otherwise healthy eggs. So now we've got babies born with all kinds of crazy things and ailments and illnesses and that I never saw growing up, ever. Never saw it. So it's simple to change. It's just a matter of changing habits and I read that. In fact, I posted the whole thing on my Janet's House page. So if you want to see the document that I did post and the evidence of that, it's right there. But the testosterone is weak, and it grows at night, and our men aren't sleeping well. And our men need at least 6.5 hours of sleep a night. How many hours of sleep do you get, Gabe?
I don't know if he's still there. Gabe?
How many hours of sleep do you get, Anthony?
Oh, my goodness. I can average anywhere between 3 to 6 on average.
About 4 or 5 for me.
4 to 5. Now, to have healthy testosterone, it grows at night, and you have to have at least 6.5 hours deep sleep. Now, why aren't our men getting it? That has to do with stress.
Mm-hmm.
Has to do a lot with stress. And the energy that's coming at us that cause buildup of other things in the body that causes the sperm to not be healthy. But hopefully I'll get a chance to talk about it on the next show. But in the meantime, it all points to lack of movement, exercise, sleep, and non-saturated food and no fried foods. And we'll talk about that some more next week. But we have to. We really do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, for me as a writer, I know my optimum peak time for writing is between 11 p.m. to maybe 3 or 4 a.m. So I find myself waking up and, just starting to write. And,
now that you know, would you change your schedule? If that's not healthy and not good for you, would you change your schedule? That's the thing.
Yeah, well, under circumstances, I will have to because I definitely want to present the best me possible.
Yes, right.
And, nothing, everything is transitional. Nothing is necessarily etched in stone. Few things are. So, I could change that.
Yeah.
I could change
that.
Yeah, that's definitely no problem. So, I really think that, like Gabriel said, our young people are not afraid. And they are willing to pay that ultimate price for freedom. I think a lot of us who aren't that young have become complacent. And instead of fighting, maybe it's easier to just go along to get along and to go along with the established rules and mores and morals that society has presented for us. But for the freedom that we all wish to enjoy, and for our children and our children's children, I think we have to come to the point where we're willing to, as Malcolm said, by whatever means necessary, sacrifice, if it's our very life, for a cause that will affect the generations to come. So that's pretty much how I see it. There's no reason to chuck and jive. There's no reason to wait on a higher power to deliver us from the misery that these folk are constantly trying to impute upon us. So I definitely think we have to get ourselves to a point where we are willing to pay that price for freedom. Definitely. Janet, thought I may have lost her. But we're down to the last couple of minutes. And Janet is gone. But again, I want you all to think about our freedom and what it means to be free and what you as an individual are willing to do.
Hello?
Oh, there you are. For our freedom. We're down to our last minute and a half, Janet. So anything you'd like to say in conclusion?
Oh, no, I talk a lot tonight. I think, no, I did. I think I said enough. It's enough to think about until we come together next week. And maybe, mm-hmm. I really want people to share more. I really do, don't you?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I really want them to call in and share more.
Yeah. I know at times we get so engrossed in our conversation, and I've heard from people say, oh, the conversation's so good, I didn't want to call in. Call in.
Mm-hmm.
Call in, because you
mm-hmm.
can add to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're down to
absolutely.
Our last couple of sentences. So real quick, anything you'd like to say real quick, Janet?
Nope. I want everybody to have a great week, a wonderful week, and think positive and have wonderful energy. Don't allow anything to take you out of that.
Okay.
Yeah, don't do
it. I like to say, freedom comes with a price. Freedom comes with a price. And I'm going to read this into Time Relief. It's called They Gave You Religion. It's from my book, The Indigenous Chronicles. They gave you religion. Believing is fine. Knowledge is power, power of mind. Believe what they tell you. Believe what they say. Don't question for answers. Belief works that way. They gave you religion. I'll say this last time. Sheep to be eaten tastes better with wine. So brothers and sisters, think for yourself. Let's fight for each other, because we must be free. Until we see you next week, thank you. Great to be with you. And let's uplift each other. Let's uplift one another. And we will rise together. We'll see you next week.
Well, I do.